Hello, Royals fans. Welcome once again to the podcast Inside Athletics. I'm Dave King, Director of Athletics here at Eastern Mennonite University. Welcome. I want to welcome you to today's podcast. I'm going it alone this week as James DeBoer, our Sports Information Director and typical co-host for our podcast, is busy preparing for the activities of the weekend, which I'll bring to mind right away, and that is a big home day tomorrow for field hockey at 1 o'clock, women's soccer at 4 o'clock, and men's soccer at 7. So a great opportunity for you if you're in the area to come out and see all three teams in action. For those of you that maybe even want to take a trip down to the Shenandoah Valley, this would be a great weekend to do it. Weather is supposed to be fantastic after a very, very hot and humid week. And Wednesday night's game, actually men's soccer against Lebanon Valley down here. We spent most of the evening watching the radar screen and the lightning, seeing whether we could get the game in, hot and humid. The weather all broke today, and tomorrow looks to be, Saturday looks to be a fantastic day. So if you are in the area or thinking about a nice fall drive, not sure how many of the leaves have changed yet, but it would be a great opportunity for you to come on down here, as all three teams on the turf will be in action. Women's volleyball will be away, as well as cross country. So once again, hope you're keeping tabs with what's going on. Some of the activities of this past week, you'll remember that the field hockey team was postponed. And according to the weather maps and the people I talked to in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, or York County, it was good we did cancel that game. That's been postponed. You can check that out as well. A couple of things we want to cover today that I'd like to talk with you about, just share. I think I promised last week that I would talk a little bit about the not playing the national anthem or flying the flag at our sporting events. It's been a position of EMU for a long period of time. I'm not going to read the entire statement. If anyone would like to take a look at it, President Schwarzentruber has a statement on his homepage, on the president's office page, that you can look at. That would be www.emu.edu/president/flag anthem. That is, you could check it out there. But it's been very interesting. Let me just make a few comments from his statement that's been prepared, and then give you a few personal comments of my experience with it over the years as I have spent my entire career working in athletics in Mennonite institutions. The first thing that I try to make sure that I tell our students and their parents as they come, and the coaches as well, as we do our hiring process, is the fact that they do not have to agree with it, particularly from the coaching standpoint, but they do need to support it. And they also do not need to defend it. As a coach, they do not need to defend it, but President Schwarzentruber and I are always happy to talk with people who may have some questions or concerns about it. Should be stated right up front that this basically comes from our understanding that our allegiance to God supersedes the allegiance to country. As President Schwarzentruber says, this practice at EMU does not spring, as some claim, from ignorance, but is rooted in deeply held historical beliefs that God is ruler of all nations, not just ours, and that our allegiance to God as such transcends all nationalities, even our own. Further, as followers of Jesus, we are invited to join a visible fellowship of believers, the worldwide church, that knows no national boundaries. Consequently, for many of our members, it is a denial of our faith to pledge our allegiance to anyone or anything other than to Jesus. It is our response to the faith declaration of our baptismal vows that Jesus is Lord. One of the things that I tell parents and students who come here is you will learn more about the world here than you will, or see more and hear more about the world than you may about the United States. And that is not at all that we are unpatriotic or non-supportive of the United States, but it has been something when we believe that we are that God is the ruler of all nations and Jesus is Lord of everyone, becomes difficult to support an entity that does not see that particular viewpoint. We do feel very fortunate to live in a country where religious differences are tolerated and opportunities to dialogue with civility are encouraged. And so we enjoy the conversations that we can have over that. I know from an athletic perspective, I've always been puzzled a little bit as to how that ever got started. I guess I could do some historical research to find out when it was started. But I'm intrigued that it is that the national anthem is played so before every sporting event, but I'm not sure that it's played before the opera or the symphony concert or other places like that, which is kind of interesting to me that somehow sports within our society has played into that. And so there is nothing that mandates that we play it. It is our way of saying that our allegiance is first of all to God, and that Jesus is Lord of everyone. And so the persons that I may be by bombing or killing or responding to in some way in another country, in another culture, are also children that have been created by God, and that Jesus is Lord for them as well. And so we look at the broader picture rather than the specifics of any particular nationality. And we also try not to do it in a sense of putting it back in anyone's face. Someone has asked me before, if that's the way that you operate, shouldn't you have prayer then beforehand? And my response has typically be the fact that I don't feel that I want to push my particular belief on someone else in that particular way as to forcing them to pray, perhaps a moment of silence. Maybe we do both of them would be another way to do it. But we have long maintained, and I will say this from an athletic perspective, I spent 14 years at Lancaster Mennonite High School in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and now working ninth year here. And I really have had very, very little controversy over this particular issue, probably more so at the high school level than I did here at the collegiate level. And I believe that part of it is the information sharing that we do ahead of time in preparation for it and trying to explain it. And again, recognizing the fact that we realize that not everyone's going to agree with us, but we're not asking them to agree with it, but we're asking them to honor our particular position, which says that we are not going to play the national anthem or fly the flag. One of the things I tell students here also is the fact that they will hear the word community probably 50 million times before they graduate. It is one of the things that we push a lot here. And when we talk about that community, we're not talking about just those who live on campus. We might be talking about your team, the campus, the class, Harrisonburg community, the United States, the world. There are many, many different communities that we are a part of and that we need to pay attention to who they are. And one of the ones that we do is emphasizing that care for each other and service to each other that makes us part of a broader community. And one of the things that is interesting to me when I think about it, and I'm not trying to push it too far down the road, would be how parallel some of those senses of community are to what's actually happening within the teams. And one of the things that I thought about recently was, I've mentioned to you a couple of times, I believe, that we've made some changes within the athletic department this year, and some staff changes as Phil Gimmich retired and Lucinda Slayball resigned for another position. And so we've had to reformulate things and do things a little bit differently. And I've really been intrigued by what that transition has meant and how we've had to deal with that and handle it. And I remember a resource person who came in to talk to us talked about the fact that in the midst of transition and change, many times it gets worse before it gets better. And I had to think about that, and we're in the middle of experiencing that right now as we start to get into our patterns and rhythms of game management and support to the coaches, and the coaches get into the rhythm of their season and their team starts to settle in, and now we begin ODAC play. It's kind of interesting to think about the fact that while we as a department are experiencing a lot of change in terms of how we function and how we operate, it's really no different than a team, because every team starts out very different. This year's team has different personnel than last year's team. This year's team has different focus than last year's team, perhaps. The players are different. The roles that a player has might be different. And so it's interesting that we're in the midst of this change and trying to figure out exactly how all things are going to settle and how similar that is to what's happening with each of our individual teams. And so you'll see teams trying out a lot of things right now, trying to figure out. And sometimes it will get worse before it gets better as they move someone from the front line to the back line, as someone becomes a premier runner or the secondary runner. Whatever the strategies might be, however the team functions together, every year is a brand new start. And in that start, And that's very true of Division III. We've thought about that a lot as teams start to settle in. There are some kids who are making decisions about not playing now because they see what all it entails and what it involves, and they've lost the love of the sport. And for a whole variety of reasons, things are really starting to settle and shake in. And I begin to understand the fact that this team is going through a process of really trying to adjust to the newness and the change and the transition, and that sometimes things might get worse before they get better. So again, one has to look at how are they playing midway through the season, towards the end of the season, not putting a lot of stock already. I'm sure the field hockey team would be one of those that looks at it. If you just look at it, four losses, and it's suddenly like, wow, you know, where are we at and where are we going? How you put together the non-conference schedule all plays into that. So that's one of the things that we are really working on in trying to understand how to transition things. Well, I wanted to move on to one other thing, and certainly I would go back just to simply say I'll be happy to take any questions or comments that you would have on my discussion of the U.S. flag and the national anthem and where we stand on that. I encourage you, if you have questions about it, to read the paper that's prepared by the president, and President Schwarzer will be glad to converse with you as well. And maybe in some future ones we'll talk a little bit more about it. I wanted to close today with reading just a little bit of an excerpt from The Mind Gym, MindGym, Mind Gym, which is a book that we purchased for all freshman athletes. Its subtitle is An Athlete's Guide to Inner Excellence. And I wanted to just read a portion here about riding the pines, which again is something that some people have to deal with because of that. After starting 13 games the previous season and being voted by local sports writers as the team's most valuable player, Chris Chandler believed he deserved to be the Arizona Cardinals' starting quarterback. But when the 1993 season began, he found himself on the bench. Coach Joe Bugle had replaced Chandler with Steve Berline, a free agent who had signed a three-year, $7.5 million contract. Bugle's decision wasn't surprising. In fact, it was almost predictable as cafeteria food. The coach's job was on the line. He had to win. Also, in professional sports, money talks, and what it says is play me. Hobbled in preseason by an ankle injury, even Chandler wasn't shocked by the move. But the demotion stung him nevertheless. It's a little embarrassing, he told the media after the team announced the decision a week before the season opener. I know I'm not a backup, the new backup said through gritted teeth. One day early in the season, Chandler approached me as we walked off the field after practice. How do you handle something like this? He asked. As a sports psychology consultant, I devote much of my time to counseling athletes who are sidelined because of a coach's decision or because they are injured. In this instance, I didn't know how immediately to respond. I wasn't sure what to say. I like Chris. The Indianapolis Colts drafted him, then traded him in order to select Jeff George. Then Tampa Bay dumped him in midseason. In my heart, I thought Chandler had earned the Cardinals starting job and felt bad for him. I remembered a magazine article I had read about being your own boss. I told Chandler that even though he was a backup player, removed from the limelight, he still is a commodity on the National Football League Stock Exchange. Chris Chandler, Inc. Chandler needed to work each day on getting his stock to climb. Having a bad attitude wouldn't help. Not giving his best in practice only would drop his value. I reminded him that he was one play away from being the starter. He had to stay involved and ready. If the club traded him, what would he want the Cardinals coaches and scouts to say about him? He has a good attitude. He works hard. He's coachable. He's a real team player. Chandler didn't play much that season. The next year, he went to Los Angeles and then on to Houston. Eventually, he found a home in Atlanta and led the Falcons to the Super Bowl. Good things to come to those who stay optimistic and are willing to persevere. I tell minor league baseball players what I told Chandler. In AAA, half the players feel they belong in the major leagues. The others think they have nothing to prove at this level. I urge them to ink themselves. They are writing their career resumes with each performance. It's not easy sitting on the bench, riding the pines. It is doubly tough for athletes who are injured, even though injuries are part of sports. An athlete can do nothing or use that time inactivity wisely. And he goes on to explain about someone else who was injured and spent more time learning while they weren't able to do anything. just one of the facets that we bring to light within the athletes. And I think it's always good to remind them, because many of them, particularly as freshmen, are coming in as from high schools in which they played predominantly all of the time in their sport. And now they're riding the bench, and it may seem unfair. I had told you about the book. I just wanted to share a little bit about that with you. It's one of the real struggles that we have, or challenges we have, I should say, not as much of a struggle, but a challenge to try to help each young athlete understand how this can impact their life for the future, and that it isn't always about playing time. It's about how they can use this experience to build their own resume, to build themselves. And that may seem selfish at some point, but for us to look only at the value of the playing time diminishes all the other things that they can learn by all the different experiences they have. So we continue to do that on a regular basis, talking with our student athletes about how they can use the experience to better themselves, to make them better people for whatever is next, whether it be playing in that particular sport or running a business or a nurse or doctor, whatever. Again, those are the goals that we're after for all of our student athletes. Well, thank you for joining me this week. I hope it's been insightful to you. Again, I welcome your conversations and feedback to what we're trying to do for our student athletes. And I wanted to give you an explanation of our particular statement on flying the U.S. flag and playing the national anthem at our events. As I've said, we're certainly willing to dialogue about that. And I think the dialogue and the openness about it has created situations here at Eastern Mennonite where we have very little problem with people coming in and challenging us with that. And when we do, we're certainly able to have open dialogue about it. Thanks for joining. Make sure that you pay attention to all the events of the weekend by reading the write-ups on Sunday and on Monday. And until next week, I invite you to make it a great week.